Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mother of Fawn podcast. My name is Audrey, and in today's episode, I wanted to just share a little story time with you guys because I have recently welcomed my mother-in-law to come and live with us. So most people, when they hear that, they think I'm absolutely insane, but I wanted to just kind of tell my story and so that you guys can get the illustration of how happy and excited I am to have my mother-in-law finally here, because we have been waiting for so, so long for this day to finally come. So if you guys have been following me on other social media channels like Instagram or YouTube, then you know that when I was preparing to give birth to my daughter Amelia, our plan was that my husband's mom was going to immigrate to the United States so that she could be here for the birth and to help take care of me and the baby, especially during the newborn time. And eventually she would be the full-time caretaker while I returned back to work at 4 months postpartum. So now here we are, 16 months postpartum, and she is finally coming. So it was an extremely long process, so I'm just going to outline kind of like what we went through to get her here and then talk about what I hope will happen now that she's actually here, because I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. She's only been here for 2 days, so I just wanted to kind of make this episode for you guys to share that, and then maybe in a few months I will do an updated episode where I talk about how things are going living with my mother-in-law. So I'll start at the beginning. So back in April 2019, we decided to file the paperwork for my mother-in-law to immigrate to the United States on the category called IR-5, which is parent of a U.S. citizen. So my husband became a U.S. citizen in April 2018. Why we waited a year to file this paperwork, I do not know. We probably should have just filed it right away, but we were not really thinking. So we filed the paperwork in April 2018, and usually the process takes about 6 months, you know, 6 to 8 months for the processing. So we figured in May, we're like, well, we could start trying to have kids, and then maybe by the time, you know, it's time to give birth, everything will be put through and she will be here in the United States. So in May, we got pregnant. I mean, technically we found out in June, but in May, we started trying, May of 2019. And we figured we had plenty of time. And also, I did not expect to get pregnant on the first try. So we ended up getting the good news straight away, which meant that our timeline was officially, you know, the clock was ticking. Like, okay, is mom going to get here in time now? So we were patiently waiting for the USCIS to process her application. And come October 2019, we received the approval notice for her immigration status to be changed. So that meant that it was time for her application to then move on to the visa processing section. So USCIS reviews your documentation and decides whether or not they want to grant you whatever status that you are requesting. So in this case, it's permanent residency. So that's only half the battle, which usually people think that the USCIS is like the hard part, which it is, because they're the ones that actually decide if you can immigrate or not. But the paperwork's not too difficult. And as far as the timing for this particular category, it wasn't too long. We have also filed paperwork for my husband's sister, but that's going to take like 12 years processing at the USCIS level. So we just kind of set it and forget it. So we'll see if she ever gets processed. But anyways, we received the approval in October 2019, and I was ecstatic. I said, okay, this is great. We're going to do our visa right now, and she really should be here in time for the birth, because my due date was February 2020. So that meant I had like 4 or 5 months to get her over here, and I thought that would be plenty of time. So it actually takes 8 weeks for the documentation from USCIS to be transferred to the National Visa Center in New Hampshire. And then once that happens, they start your case of applying for the visa, and they send you a portal that you log in and you submit all your documentation. So it was so hard waiting for them to actually give us access because we just wanted to get it done straight away. We tried to prepare what we could, but we didn't really know what we're going to need until we gained access to that portal, which had all of the requirements listed. So finally, in December, early December, we received access to the portal. I think it was like the first week of December or something. And I was like rushing. I was like, oh, come on, let's get all these documents and submit as soon as possible so we can get going on this. But it's hard because like we're in two different time zones. She's in Vietnam and we had to have her get all her documents. And so it just took longer than I wanted. It took almost a month for her to collect all the documents so we could submit them. So we didn't even officially submit all of her documents until the end of December, which is such a shame because I feel like if that would have been quicker, maybe things would have been different. By the way, to set the scene, I know I usually set the scene. I'm sitting in the playroom nursing Mia and looking out in my backyard, and there is a cardinal on the grass, and it's really pretty. So today is really hot. It's like 90 degrees. And yeah, that's the scene. We're home alone. So I'll get more to into what we're doing today. But anyways, so back to the process. So we put all the paperwork in, and then they were like, oh, well, you need something else. So then I had to resubmit some documents, and I did it straight away, so it was fine. And then we waited. So there's like a long line of people obviously waiting for their documents to be reviewed and for their case to be moved forward. So it took them like a month or two to review the documents. And by then, you know, it was January, and I gave birth at the end of January. So obviously my mother-in-law was not going to make it for the birth, which was really sad because I really could use the support. So then we had to keep doing like back and forth with National Visa Center. And it was really annoying because one of the issues we found was the Visa Center's website had a glitch. So we actually submitted the document, but then it like came up saying we didn't submit it. So then our case was put on hold. And then when we resubmit the document, our case got put to the back of the line again. So that was extremely frustrating. I kept like having to call them, and calling them is such a joke. It takes like an hour on hold to try and get to somebody, or you like dial the number and nobody picks up. So it was super frustrating. And of course, like I was in the newborn phase. So I just remember I was like 2 months postpartum and calling the USCIS, asking them like, well, what the heck? What's going on with this? It should have already been processed. And when they told me that I had to resubmit and that my case was going to back of the line, I just started crying on the phone with them because I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I need help and this shouldn't have taken this long. And now, you know, obviously COVID started as well. So then things were just completely slow on processing and it was extremely stressful. So I spent many months crying, saying like, why isn't she here? I wish she was here. I wish she was here. And then fast forward to March, we were up at my grandma's house in Maine. We went up for a visit and we got notification that her interview had been scheduled. Finally, the US, the National Visa Center finally scheduled her interview for 3 weeks later. So we started getting everything ready for her, prepping for her interview. And then in April, she had her interview. April 13th, she went to the embassy to do her interview for her visa. And she was so nervous because she really wanted to come here, obviously, and be able to help us and be able to be with her granddaughter. So she said she was so nervous she threw up, like, while waiting for her turn, which is so sad. And then she had her interview, and then what she received after was something called temporary refusal. Her case was put into administrative processing. So when she received notification of that, she cried because she thought she had blown it. She thought something happened. Like, for example, in Vietnam, if you work in any like public sector, you're kind of required to be a part of the Communist Party. Even if you're not like really in it, you still have to like be a part of it. And so she thought, because when she was a school teacher many years ago and she had to be officially a part of the Communist Party, that that's why they refused her. So she was just like crying. She went home. She refused to eat. She felt so upset. And then once we saw the document, and I knew what administrative processing meant because I worked in immigration prior to staying home. So I knew that that was not a big deal and that we just had to submit a document. So we had a police certificate, which is like a criminal record. They require you to submit that for your visa, but it expires after a year. And since the case took longer than a year to process, we had to resubmit that. So that's why she got administrative processing, temporary refusal. Once we told her and calmed her down, it was fine. We told her what she had to do. So she went back to the police station to request a new certificate. She resubmitted by the end of April. And then by the end of May, May 18th, we got notification that her visa was printed and her passport was being delivered to their home. So once she had the passport in hand with visa, we booked her flight and we decided to book it ASAP because coronavirus is getting worse in Vietnam. So we were so afraid that after waiting all this time, they might close the borders, and that's exactly what we didn't want. So we booked her flight straight away for June 3rd. So she received her passport like May 20 something, and by June 3rd, she was flying to America to immigrate. So I guess once she got to the airport, it was super easy. They just double checked her documentation. She came through the border. My husband picked her up and brought her home on Thursday evening, and we got to be reunited. So it has been amazing. So now that was like the process of getting her over here. And now I just want to talk a little bit about like my feelings on it and what I hope for, what will come out of this. So I was obviously so excited for her to come because I've always wanted her to come, but the couple of days leading up to her coming, I suddenly got super nervous because we have never had a roommate except for our baby. So I've been with my husband for 10 and a half years now, and we have lived together, but we have never lived with like another person. His mom did live with us for 7 weeks once during the summer in our one bedroom apartment back in 2017. So that was kind of a test run for us. We did that kind of purposely to see if we could all get along if we did live together because we were considering her living with us full time in the future. And it was fine. The only problem I had was it was just too small. Like she was just sleeping in on the pullout couch in our living room for 7 weeks. So when you literally feel like you're like living on top of each other, it's not that great. But now that we have a house and we have a room just special for her, which is on the lower level of our house, so it's almost like an in-law suite kind of a thing. She's got her own room, she's got her own half bath on the first floor that she can use in the eve like at night if she has to go to the bathroom or brush her teeth or something. She has to shower upstairs, but that's fine. It's just like kind of nice that she has her own space and we don't feel like we're literally living on top of each other. So I was super nervous. And also, my mother-in-law does not speak English. So that means I have to speak Vietnamese when she's here. So I do speak Vietnamese, but it's not fluent. And I was like a little nervous, like, oh my gosh, now I'm gonna have to speak Vietnamese and I feel like I'm out of practice because the last time I spoke Vietnamese full time was our last visit to Vietnam, which was in May 2019. So it's been oh my God, it's been 2 years since I was like emerged or whatever you call it, immersed in the Vietnamese language, which is where I learned the most. So I was nervous, but grandma came. She arrived. And her plane came early, and the paperwork checking did not take long at all. So they ended up getting home super early. And so Amelia got to meet her grandma the day that she got here. We did kind of keep a distance because we were waiting to get her a rapid COVID test the next morning before we like let her hold the baby or hug and anything. But it was just so amazing. So Amelia surprised everybody. She just warmed up to her really quickly. And on Friday morning, which was yesterday, she went, she got her rapid COVID test, came back negative. And as soon as she came home, she was trying to hold Amelia like right away. She was so excited. And it's just, it melted my heart to see how she held her and sings with her and plays with her. And Amelia loves her already. So I am so relieved because obviously Amelia is a COVID baby. And if you are a mom during the pandemic, you know that COVID babies are even more shy than regular babies because they're not used to seeing people. And usually people have masks on and it's just a strange experience. So I was so afraid that grandma was going to get here and Amelia was just going to be like super scared because a stranger is here. Because we really haven't, seen many people this whole time. But luckily, it's almost like she knew who it was because we video chatted every weekend with her in Vietnam. So she's seen her and heard her voice many, many times on the phone. So maybe that's why she warmed up quickly. But I think she also can probably sense, like, from her parents that this person is safe, I think babies are just like, other animals that they can sense your emotion and your feeling. And if you're stressed, then they would be scared too. But if you're not, then they may feel more comfortable with the people. So, yeah, so far so good. So now we are at home alone because my husband is taking my mother-in-law to get her first dose of COVID vaccine because in Vietnam they don't have the vaccine available yet because the government, I guess, cannot afford the doses. So they have to wait a long time for the vaccine. So she didn't have it yet, but she's going to get her first dose of Moderna today, and then next month she will be fully vaccinated. So it's just really nice that we're able to have her here now, and it's just such a relief. So now, what does that mean for me? I got so many questions from people asking me, well, are you going to go back to work? Because now your mother-in-law's here, and your whole plan from the beginning was she's going to be here so you can work. And to that, I say no, not right now. And the reason is because I'm planning to get pregnant again relatively soon, like by the end of the year. I would say as soon as September, but depends on how, quickly it happens. So right now, I'm just working on my health. And you guys know I've been doing all the mental health and the fitness and everything, eating healthy. So my main focus right now is taking care of myself, but also getting kind of back into my social media stuff as my work. So I do love doing my YouTube channel, and now I'm gonna have more time to actually edit videos, and it won't be in the middle of tonight when I'm exhausted. So my hope is that now that grandma's here, she can help me by giving me office hours. So my husband spoke to her about it already and she said that's totally fine because in Vietnam she took care of my sister-in-law's two kids while they worked. So she has no problem. She said just we'll obviously take a week or two to adjust and teach her like how we care for Amelia because she wants to do things the way that we do it. She doesn't want to steamroll us and like just take over. So I think that's very admirable because I know a lot of people have mother-in-laws that probably wouldn't be that sensitive to how you want to do things in your home and with your kids. So I feel very, very grateful for that. So for now, I'm teaching her like the schedule, Amelia's schedule, what she eats, how to prepare it, and like how we teach her different things, how we play with her. So yeah, I took her to Target last night and she got a notebook so she can take notes. I'm literally like her teacher now. So yesterday I showed her how to make sweet potato pancakes for breakfast. So she's gonna write down the recipe in Vietnamese in her little notebook so that way if she's up early with Mia and we are sleeping, she can make her breakfast. So it's so cool to like have somebody else that's here, that's helpful, that's on the same page as you, as far as as far as I can see for now. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any huge issues in terms of that stuff because she's made it very clear that she doesn't want to rock the boat. She doesn't want to be a burden. She just wants to help us in any way that she can. So again, I'm like so grateful for that. So anyways, back to what I was saying. I am going to have office hours, so I get to set my hours. I think I'm going to do like morning hours because I am the most productive in the morning. So my hope is that Amelia wakes up super early so I can still get up and nurse her as normal and then maybe let her go with grandma because grandma gets up at 5 a.m. every day. So it just makes sense for Amelia to go with grandma because she's already awake and we are always so tired when she wakes up at 5:30. Like I cannot handle it anymore. It's terrible. Yesterday she did it again and I woke up with her. And I ended up passing out during her nap time with her because I just could not stay awake. And then I felt annoyed because I was like, well, now I didn't get anything done because usually the only time I have to get things done is when she's asleep. But now that's all about to change. So I think my office hours are going to be something like, 8:30 to 11 or something like that. And grandma can take her, feed her breakfast, take her to the park and play with her for the morning. And then she usually takes a nap at 11. So by 11, I can, put her to bed and then either continue to work or have lunch or exercise or whatever I want to do during her nap time as usual. So I am like just over the moon excited, you guys. I have waited so long for this to be able to take care of myself and be able to focus on what I call like my business, like my job here. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I just have to be patient a little while longer while grandma gets settled and gets used to the time change as well. Yesterday she fell asleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and didn't wake up until 6 p.m. So she's still kind of getting used to the time change. But I'm just gonna let her let me know when she's ready to take on, the mornings with Amelia. And once she is, then it's gonna be finally my time to have a life again. Like, I love being a stay-at-home mom, don't get me wrong, but it is literally the hardest job I've ever done in my life. It is nonstop. It's from when you open your eyes to when you close your eyes. You have no breaks. Like, when I used to work in the office, I was super efficient and my job, like, it was pretty easy for me. If it wasn't a busy time of year, I could usually finish all my work by 10 a.m., 9:30 or 10. I get there at 8:30. And by 10, I was finished processing all my cases. And then if I had student meetings, because I was, if you don't know, I worked for Rutgers University as an international student advisor. So my job there was to know and understand the immigration regulations around international students and be sure to educate them, as well as making updates to the government database to track students and their progress at their educational institution. So I would mainly be doing case processing or student meetings. Hi, Amelia. You want to say hi to the podcast? Gaw, what do you want? You want a new toy? Let me see. What can I get you out of the closet? We're just in the playroom. I'm enjoying this quiet time to record, but now she's starting to get antsy. Do you want to play with your jungle friends? Yeah. Here you go. Oops. Oh my god, this closet. Her toys are falling everywhere. So yeah. So anyways, as I was saying, when I worked, I had so much free time. Like when you're a stay-at-home mom, the only free time you get is when the baby's asleep, which is very limited. For me now it's an hour and a half, but it used to only be 40 minutes. She used to be the worst napper, only 40 minutes per day. It was very difficult. I mean, it's still difficult now, but at least an hour and 30 minutes is a lot better. I can usually at least like have lunch and prep things and clean up and maybe do a workout or take a shower. So that alone has been life-changing, the longer naps. So I can't imagine how things are going to be when grandma helps out with Amelia. But yeah, it's just like working in my job was so easy compared to this. Like, I mean, don't tell my boss, my old boss, but like, I would get everything done and I was one of, the best performing employees. And I'm not just saying that because it's me, but Because my bosses actually would praise me often for the work that I do. And honestly, I felt like, really? This is so easy. Like, I don't know. That's just who I am, I guess, as a worker. Here, you want to play with your car on this on the ramp? Probably gonna have to end this episode soon because she's getting a little antsy, but that's just who I am as a worker. Like, I'm efficient and I pay attention to detail and get stuff done, and I kind of make like here, you want to do it? You do it by yourself. I try to make things streamlined for myself. Like, I don't know. That's just who I am. That's just how I work. And so, anyways, I'm just really excited to be productive again, to have a time of day that's just for me to work. Because it's so hard when you only have a set amount of time of free time and you have to decide, okay, am I gonna work? Am I gonna relax? Am I gonna exercise? Am I gonna shower? Am I gonna eat? What am I gonna do? I only have this amount of time. And it was so stressful, but now if I can have, 8:30, say 8:30 to 12, because she's gonna be sleeping for part of that anyway. So that's, 3.5 hours. I can get a lot done in 3.5 hours when it comes to, editing, preparing brand campaigns and sponsored content, writing captions and blog posts and podcast episodes. Mwah, I can record more. What? You want to go up? Are you hungry? So, anyways, I think I'm going to end the episode here just because Amelia's getting antsy. I put her for her lunch earlier and she wasn't hungry yet, so she like didn't eat and then she ended up pooping. So, she just hasn't eaten yet and it's now what time is it? It's 1:30. It's 1:30. You want to eat lunch? So, again, I will keep you guys updated on how this whole mother-in-law situation goes. But until then, I hope you enjoyed listening to this little story time. Catch me on Instagram if you have questions or want to share any of your experiences, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.